In the midst of looking at five core values, Lynn Green, the General Secretary of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, as she came into post, said it's important and it'd be valuable for us to keep these values as uppermost in our lives as Baptist churches. So we've been looking at these values, and the last 3 weeks we've looked about being a prophetic community, one which speaks out and in words, but also speaks out by living distinctive lifestyles. So a prophetic community, our call to be an inclusive community, and about identifying with those who are rejected, those who are powerless or being deprived. So that call for us to be an inclusive community. Then last week it was about being a sacrificial community, recognizing and living the importance of vulnerability and the necessity of sacrifice. The necessity of sacrifice for a pathway of resurrection and new life. And today we're looking at the idea of being a missionary community, and next Sunday, Palm Sunday, about being a worshipping community. All these qualities or descriptions, they're not distinct. They involve each other. And as we look at being a missionary community this morning, it's within it, there's implication of all that we've looked at previously as prophetic, inclusive, sacrificial. The call to be a missionary people comes from those words that we opened the service with, the closing words of Matthew's Gospel 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These words are for us as we read them as a company of people, and they're for us as individuals. We need to unpack this call. And I want to do this by looking at the passage that Pauline read for us from earlier in Matthew chapter 4. It's a very apt passage because it's the passage that comes when Jesus was launched on his mission. Immediately prior to our reading is Jesus' baptism. Jesus is baptized by John, and he comes out of the water. And we read towards the end of chapter 3. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This was a moment of growing, a moment of marking, a time where Jesus was released into the mission that was before him. And the desert was a learning place for understanding and to taking in his mission. Today is a day like every day for us. And today, like tomorrow, we are being launched, released into mission. And so as Jesus learned from his time in the desert, we too can learn much from looking at his experiences. Jesus came to a series of temptations. He was hungry, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The tempter, the devil, said, "Turn these stones into bread." He could do it. He could have provided for his hunger. Jesus' response, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus was rejecting that his purpose and his meaning was in material provision. That's, we can see that. We can read that out of there. He was saying, no, he wasn't going to provide. And, you know, his purpose, his mission was not to ensure that his earthly life was comfortable, that it was uncomplicated, that there were no stresses and strains. And then Jesus was shown the highest point of the temple. "Throw yourself down and let the angels save you." That was the devil's temptation. And Jesus responded, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." In saying this, Jesus was just doing that. He wasn't putting the Lord to the test. He was shunning irresponsibility. Oh, how easy just to throw yourself off the temple, let the angels come and protect. In an earthly sense, it would be so easy to do what you want, whenever you want, and let God come up behind and sort it all out. It would be easier, but it wouldn't be helping anyone to grow. Jesus' response was demanding that he and all of us should act responsibly. And then thirdly, Jesus was taken to a very high mountain and he was offered all that he could see. "All this will be yours if you bow down and worship me," the tempter said. And Jesus' response, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus was given all this opportunity for power to be in charge of earthly kingdoms, yet he turned away and he said in that turning away that earthly power in terms of religious institutions, earthly power in terms of state is not his purpose, is not his meaning. Here we have Jesus showing us the way as he set out on his mission. So as we hear Jesus' call to ourselves, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," we need to launch into mission with these truths of the desert experience. Firstly, we must not be first and foremost about looking after ourselves, caring for our material provisions. And I want to put a full stop there, but immediately put a rider just to shine a light on. It's important to hear Jesus' words declaring that the second most important commandment is to love your neighbour as yourself. This implies that we have to look after ourselves in some form so that we can express care to others. Without being able to exercise care for ourselves to some degree, we can't exercise care for others. But this is the baseline. And that's the rider, just to get the right picture, the right light on these words, that we should be looking outside of ourselves. We should be looking to exercise ourselves in mission for others. And it has to bring questions to us on what we do week in, week out as a church. We need to be doing all that we can to release our hearts and minds into mission. Our society is one that speaks about needing to provide for yourself, and the aim is for bigger and better. That just comes out, it's everywhere. And this is so different to our call to being a missionary community. And I love the description about God's kingdom being an upside down kingdom. The things Jesus called to us is to be opposite of the world. And as we're sent out in mission, and we must be doing that rather than serving our own needs, and we're building God's kingdom, this upside down kingdom. Just a description, I always remember the story, it's a number of years ago now, but I think it's changed, but there's a church in Essex, Gray's Church, it's on the Thames in Essex, and they serve a very very poor estate, or very poor area, and they could afford one full-time worker. They could afford a minister, but they chose, because the community needed it, a family and community worker. So whereas first port of call for most churches would be to employ a minister, they actually employed a family and community worker, because that was the needs of, they're out working. And you know, some of those are very big decisions. And it just illustrates this call on being outward looking. I'm sure there's any number of questions we could ask of ourselves, and I really encourage us to ask them of each other in the weeks ahead. Use it, talk about it. The second picture of not being irresponsible, of not putting God to the test. What it shouts to us is to be responsible. And that's an interesting word, because we've talked about it, and we know that society is one that shouts of freedom. I have my rights. But we demand the freedom without responsibility. This is something for us to learn as a people of mission. It's an expression, again, of the upside-down kingdom. God's purpose is opposite to the world. So often we try to exercise freedom for ourselves, and at times we exercise freedom for others. But responsibility is such an important key that we need to address. The third scenario is about power, whether it be within the local church, wider religious groups, in the workplaces, or the wider community. People strive for power. And when I was thinking about it, my mind actually went back 3 years ago to I went to watch Nottingham Forest play at Crystal Palace on the terraces. So we had a Forest End there. You could go in on the day. So I went in and bought my ticket, and I stood on the terraces. And then this steward in an orange jacket came to me and said, "Can I see your ticket?" I've been to, I don't know how many football matches in my time, but having got into the turnstile, and if you were doing nothing untoward, I have never, ever, ever asked for having to see my ticket as you're there on the terraces. Then this lad was then saying to me that he could throw me out the ground. He was I was 3 years ago, so I was in my late 40s, and he was no more than about early 20s. And I dutifully showed him my ticket, and he went on his way. Wow, what power this orange coat was giving this lad for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. Maybe, you know, he was in a role which wasn't, a lot of power was exercised over him. But it was a change of roles. But Power, we take it so easily, or we want to exercise it so easily. Jesus shows us the way. It's the way of the upside down kingdom, how we should be involved in mission. It's engaging with the wider world without the desire, for exercising power. So we're called to be this people of mission. Not first and foremost thinking of ourselves. We're not looking to exercise power, and we're looking to release others with a freedom in a responsible manner. This is how we are to be about mission. It just made me think of another picture just comes to mind. I said to previously, many years ago, I was as a minister in a psychiatric unit of a hospital, and actually the nurses weren't very supportive in one way, and I got sat down with them. And the fact was that they had so many people admitted into the ward that had been messed up by the church. And I was in there as a minister. And it was just really interesting to capture this idea that folk had looked to bring freedom into people's lives, but without responsibility. And actually, there's a lot of people that go into our mental health wards that are there because they've not been dealt with. That's the right word. People haven't been, there hasn't been the right support in religious forms, in spiritual forms, where there's been that really, that idea of freedom without responsibility. So that was a lesson from over 20 years ago. It just came to mind as we were looking here this morning. With the illustration with the balloon, we need to be focused in our mission. It's not the way to do things equally on all fronts, all at the same time. It's imperative and it's important that we do work on all the fronts, but one has to be just in front of the other. There needs to be an order. There needs to be a structure. Our mission is a series of points. They can come straight after each other, but they have to be a series of points so we can break down the walls in people's lives. It's great that we have the church meeting to help us get a consensus, to help this working out of mission in a meaningful and a valuable way. We're being prepared for mission, and we need to see what is before us. One of the most helpful quotes I hold is one which was given by a man called Edward Patey. He was the former dean of the Church of England Cathedral in Liverpool. And he said these words: "If the local church is to be faithful to its mission, it must know both the gospel and the people to whom the gospel is to be proclaimed." I repeat that. If the local church is to be faithful to its mission, it must know both the gospel and the people to whom the gospel is to be proclaimed. They're valuable words. We need to know the people that we live alongside. The buildings here need to be used by ourselves and by the wider locality so that we have a setting to get to know people. Equally, It could be that we go out into other settings and get to know people in that way. Mission is not some clever exercise that has to be worked out. It's purely and simply about being Christ-like in the situations that we find ourselves. It's about being responsible. It's about looking to provide for others. It's about not seeking power. And the question that can so easily and will come back is, what should we be doing? Again, a simple answer is that we should be about building the upside-down kingdom, challenging those things in our society that excludes people, that traps people in ways of life that stops them growing. We said earlier, all those things that we need to grow. We need our health, we need food, we need friends, we need to be able, good at education, we need friendship, we need to be accepted, we need a place of home. And when those things aren't there, the word that we use and describe it is poverty. Our general word of poverty is very much the aspect of material poverty, the lack of possessions, the lack of money, or being able to provide for some of those other things that we spoke about. But poverty has other faces as well. We can have identity poverty, just that lack of worth in people's lives. There can be the aspirational poverty, being in settings where a young person's parents have never worked. So their aspirations aren't to work. They've never seen a picture of work. Perhaps the greatest factor of poverty currently we have in the UK is loneliness. This is what excludes people in our society. It's not easy to break down. But we must find ways. We can work in partnership with other groups. There are, as I say, many facets of mission we need to work on. But that's the one which I'm hearing is coming the most vital or challenging at this time. As we challenge loneliness, we're building the upside-down kingdom. And as we get to know people, we're bringing them back into the sense of community. As we challenge loneliness, bring people into community, they're coming to an understanding and a discovery of God himself. Because community is a picture of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, conclude with these words. Hear these words as Jesus says them to each of us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May we hear those words with excitement and anticipation, as we do have the tools and the resources to be a missionary people.